Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away. So it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What is happening to all my woods people? This is The Element Podcast brought to you by First Light Gear. Tyler's over here pulling my cord. What's up, dog?
I ain't pulling on nothing. Looks like you're tangled.
Yeah, kind of like that Disney movie that everybody talks about and I never watched.
Tangled in Roses.
I bet you watched that quite a few times, right?
What?
Tangled?
I have no clue. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I figured your daughter
would
have liked that. It's the Rapunzel one. I never watched
Not
it either.
Not familiar.
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe we could just Disney movie it a little bit, but, you know, it's probably better that we don't.
Hell, it's a losing proposition, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Talk about franchises that are dying, right?
Seems to be that way.
It's The Element and Disney just gone downhill.
Two opposite thinkers, though.
That's it, man. That's it. Well, today on the podcast, things are going to go downhill. Because this is how it goes, guys. You all probably know a season of deer hunting has many, many seasons within it, right?
Size on.
There's good, there's bad. To be cliche, there is ugly, and that is usually Eric.
But
he's not here today to defend himself. I'll stop. Hey, this is where I got the Brian mustaches off of this pillow right here. You know that green thing that I put my nose to look like Brian's mustache? How about that?
Interesting.
I had no idea. Anyways, we have had a excelente season, and it's not over yet. In fact, a big buck has gone down on the Element crew recently, but we won't talk about that today. You can look forward to hearing more about that in a future episode.
I'm going to be killing deer till like March. I think that's what I'm going to do this year.
It's a good idea.
Yep.
How many of those deer going to have spots on them?
Zero.
Mm. Are you sure?
Depends on what kind of spots you're talking about.
I'm talking about them good spots, not the bad spots.
Good spots, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like spotty ends?
What?
Spotlights?
No. No. We might do just a little axis hunting in spring.
Oh, those kind of deer.
Yeah, spots.
I don't know about that.
But
I don't think I got the money to do that.
Yeah, you probably don't.
I'm keep hunting that Stinks permission property and just hoping one doe will come by, you know?
Yeah. Well, you could pass them like me. Be a good idea. We did a little hunting this year across the country. And there's some things that Todd and I were just discussing aren't going to make the light of day as far as video is concerned. So we're going to have to talk about it on the podcast. Otherwise, they didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
And here's the deal, y'all. I hate to be this way.
Like this.
But on the podcast is where you get the real story on things. YouTube is kind of like Hollywood a little bit. We try to be, we never are deceptive or anything like, we try to stick to the storyline and not make things be too weird. But quite frankly, if we put out a YouTube video where there's no deer seen and all we do is bellyache the whole time, nobody's going to watch that. So there's not a lot of reason to put it out there. So that's where the podcast is, what the podcast is for. And we sometimes can learn from everybody's mistakes and hopefully be better in the future. And you can do that pretty well on a podcast. Whereas on a YouTube video, like, nobody watches it, nobody learns, and it's just a bunch of bad stuff out there for the world to not see. So whenever I killed my deer in Kansas, we had a party.
Party.
We ate pizza, and we ate good, got us some sleep, got up the next morning not too early, packed it up, and made a little drive down to the woods of Oklahoma and did just a little hunting. And there in Oklahoma, the weather's pretty temperate, and so we stayed in a little camper, and just it's actually a thing I look forward to every year because I like staying in a pop-up camper. For one, Tyler and I get to be cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm making up for now. I'm actually across the living room from him doing this thing. But in the pop-up camper, whenever you have five guys in there, Michael and Greg sleep in the same bed because they're both smaller fellers. Tyler and I sleep in the same bed because we're the peepaws. So one of us is going to have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and we're pretty forgiving of that because you never know which one of us is going to have to be. I do, I bet.
Yep, I know for sure.
But
it doesn't make sense, though.
Because you sleep on the outside?
Well, you said that they were smaller fellers, though they shared a bed,
yeah,
which is also known as smellers.
they are that, too.
And the two bigger fellers, which are bellers, sleep in a bed together, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just the way it has to be.
It also just established that way when we first started sleeping in that pop-up. And then just, it's kind of weird to be like, no, I want to sleep with you this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I think Eric is like the exact amount of tall that you can be to sleep on the couch comfortably.
Yeah.
I think if you're any taller.
Yeah. Like 5'9¼".
Yep.
Yeah. That's about what you can do right there. And we first used that thing in Illinois last year and really liked it, but we didn't know Greg or Michael as well back then, so it's kind of like, we're not going to share a bed with those guys yet, you know, to protect all parties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we know who's getting protected, actually.
Yeah.
It was us.
Yep.
But,
For sure.
Anyways, that we've kind of, it's like, you know, how you get your spots at the eating table. That's kind of how we got in the pop-up, and it works all right.
Yeah.
Besides, I think that on that other end, there's a little rotten spot, and we don't have to deal with the rotten spot.
No.
But anyways, we stay in a pop-up, and we go out and do us a little drive around that evening. And we might even hunt the first. Did we hunt the first evening?
I did.
Hard to recollect. What did you do?
I hunted an evening and a morning is all.
Yeah?
I went in real deep, and I busted a buck about, I don't know, 100 yards from where I really was trying to get to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was bedded in some cedars. And then we sat the rest of the evening, and I don't think we saw any deer. Or we saw three does. We were sitting kind of way deep in this property, kind of next to a wheat field.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking for like that bed-to-food pattern with these little canes around. And I ended up seeing a buck just at the top of his rack over the hill in this wheat field, and like right before dark. And so there was really, he kind of disappeared behind that hill, and there was no way to make it happen. And I could see down the draw a little ways, didn't see anything coming. So it was like 5 minutes left till shooting. We took off and got out of there quick.
Gotcha. I think we glassed the first evening because the place that we were going to go into had a guy early. At it already, and this is going to kind of be the story of Oklahoma. The pressure was ridiculous this year.
Yep,
there were people everywhere, and I don't just mean like at the turnaround at the big old property. You know, there were people on every corner, just hunting, hanging out, thinking about hunting.
Hanging and hunting.
Talking about the hunting they did, this and that and the other. The first evening we decided to go do a little celebration. There's a little cafe there in town. And ended up we met a couple. Element Friends was a couple woods people there. You know yep. who you are. Good talking to you fellas.
People of the woods.
That was kind of neat. Fun thing to do. Got our bellies full with just high ambition for the rest of the week. Because, Tyler, Oklahoma is supposed to be awesome deer hunting, right?
Well, who are you asking? Just me?
Well, the general perception.
I don't know. I think there's an increasing amount of luster or allure for people.
Yeah.
Generally, over the last few years. There's been some big deer killed there. There's been, man, my foot got just all tangled up.
You take your shoe off. His foot was so tangled he took his shoe off and just left it. Kind of like that raccoon leaving his foot in the snare, just leaving it there.
I don't like it. I think that, I don't know. I just don't know what the perception is because I don't talk to people anymore that aren't you or my wife. But, yeah, I think that it would seem that maybe that pressure is a product of a few years of some big deer dying on Oklahoma properties. But, you know, I don't know. Oklahoma's a weird state. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty diverse.
It is a weird state.
In habitat and such.
It's kind of the south. It's kind of the west. It's kind of the north, according to me.
Kind of the plains, kind of the mountains, kind of the, you know.
That's why they call it the woods. Red.
Yeah.
Hey, we for sure putting that song on this episode. Absolutely. Michael,
maybe
be ready.
You better pay some royalties. That's all I know. I don't know. I don't know like how hype people. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how hype people are compared to hunting, you know, Iowa or something like that.
I feel as if it's gotten a lot of publicity in the past few years because of some yahoos who shoot deer on public land and put it on YouTube. I don't know who those are, but why would they do that? Right?
I don't know why they would, but I promise you.
Yeah.
That's, I still need to shoe one, that's for sure.
Here's the deal, guys. Straight up, we are in a losing battle as the element because there's this thing that we do, which is called filming deer hunts, that makes deer hunting look like fun, and it is, but it makes people want to do it more, and that's something we want to do. However, if more people do it, then you see more people out there, and it makes things harder. So it's kind of like we are a snake eating its own tail.
Dude, speaking of all this, this is ironic, but I saw a guy who has access to one of the baddest properties in Oklahoma. He can kill monsters there every year and recently went and killed a deer on public, first deer on public in Kansas, like recently on public land. And this guy's older. Like, he's not like a young guy. I mean, he's not, I don't know how young, but I mean, he's not like fresh out of high school or nothing. I mean, I think he's going to be close to our age or maybe a little younger. It's like, is he doing that because he thinks it's cool to do? And he's seen it on some YouTube and stuff like that, thinks that it's cool to do. Or was it just like a coincidence and he might not go back and do it? He just kind of had some time this year or something and maybe he doesn't watch YouTube at all. But like, it just seems very much like, man, this guy left like some of the baddest property out there to go hunt a different state with an expensive tag on some public. You know, I just wonder, man, like how much the culture is turning to people just going and hunting on public land. And it just, I don't know. It's one, I wonder, like, is it going to drive lease prices down?
No.
You don't think?
Mm-mm.
You think demand's still going to be there for
those? I just think that once prices go up on things, they never come down.
Well, yeah. But I mean, inflation's going up too. So, I mean, relative to the value of the dollar, are they going to sit? I don't mean are they going to come down, but are they going to sit while
be nice if they would.
Things inflate?
Because I like leasing ground. It's kind of fun.
Me too. Golly.
Actually, the process of leasing is the worst. But actually having a having a piece of
the hunting process of that is the part that's fun.
Nice. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like maybe it's just my perspective. It's kind of maybe this is a thing y'all can help us with, people listening. Is the public land thing losing steam, or is it like one of those deals where maybe like the front runners are slowing down some, but like just in general in mass, there's still a ton of people who are thinking that's cool and getting after it.
You think it's losing steam?
I'm asking the question because there are people out there who think that is the case. I've seen that portrayed some.
I don't think at all.
Yeah, I don't
personally. I think there's that's what my point was with that guy is like I think people are going out and trying it all the time. I talk to people all the time that like are in my network, but like I don't know them that well, or maybe I know them, but just you know their old friend, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this kind of it's the same thing you see on TV all the time, right? Where somebody shoots a management deer or a cold buck. And they got to justify with like, he ain't the biggest, but man, I got to shoot him because he's a cold buck or whatever. And it's like, man, just talk about like, I liked shooting that deer. That was fun. You know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing where people will call me or talk to me and be like, well, it wasn't on public, you know, or anything. Or like, they'll be like, I'm thinking about going and trying some public land deer this year, you know? Like that, I would approve of that or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I just think you should try deer hunting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel like to me that it seems like it is still going strong. That is the case now. As far as like viewership on videos that like that, I mean, everybody over the last 7 years has really there's been plenty of push towards that public land. I think there's a lot of videos of public land deer being shot out there. So like, I don't know if people are like necessarily drawn to watch public land deer get shot all the time, but like more that they just like a good story and
I think people like giant bucks, and no matter where you put it, it's like the giant buck is the basis of the formula, and then you can add things to it. It's like the X and the X equals Y or whatever, you know what I mean? So you add public land to it. That's something. Add archery to it. Add, you know, trad bow to it. Add, you know, poach to it. You know, like all these things make something more intriguing for people. So, like, adding public land to something, if it's already a big buck, people think, oh, wow, he killed that on public. But nobody looks at, like, you know, my South Dakota deer from a couple years ago and is like, oh, he killed that on public? Like, well, yeah, those are around, you know.
Yeah.
But for me, it was, like, an epic experience, you know. But I think that
I just feel like though that like when it comes to actually hunting, people are there's still a lot of people out there that are like wanting to do a little traveling and
so
slash going to
public land.
If that
is the case, we are generating more revenue for we'll just be nice and call them wildlife agencies. Then they should then be in turn either trying to put more animals in the landscape or give people more opportunity through added seasons or added properties, right?
I mean, I would agree with that. I don't know how I can, like, I don't know. I would agree with that. I just don't know how I can say that everybody should agree with that, I guess, you know.
Where's the money going? So if the wildlife department is there to and their main function is to progress wildlife and the hunting and the take of thereof, if there's more money for more people going to public and more people buying licenses,
is there more money just because more people are hunting public or are we really, I guess, recruiting? Or is there just more people that are taking a public land out-of-state trip every year?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, if they're taking an out-of-state trip, then if it's out-of-state, there's more money. If
it's
in-state.
Like out-of-state slash public land. Like, could be either or and.
If somebody's going out-of-state to hunt public land, there's more money for that state than what they're used to would have been. But if they're staying in-state and they're saying, okay,
unless
I'm
they cap tag numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Which, how smart. What a great idea. Let's limit the revenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But supposedly makes it better hunting.
Well, and they can, if they're Kansas, they can make the tag $500, and there's a handful of people that'll still pay it.
Mm-hmm. Instead, 500's low, I think, right?
I think it's what it costs.
I think it ends up being like six. It was 608 for me this past year, I think.
Dang, they got you.
Yeah.
They didn't get me.
but anyways, that was a kind of a side trip for about near.
I mean, yes, but I would agree if they're making more revenue, or selling more tags, I guess, because revenue, they're going to make more revenue just based off the fact that we're in an inflated time and they're able to increase tag costs, but also cost of living's higher. So the biologist that's making 60 or whatever probably needs to make 70 this year, you know?
Yeah, but that all kind of brings us back to the point of pressure was an issue this year.
Yes.
And I have friends that hunt in Missouri. I have a couple different friends, like not that weren't hunting together, that all hunted Missouri public land and said it was the craziest dude fest they've ever seen in their life. Like, I mean, they were literally hanging in stands around people because that's how many people were around. And so it's just kind of a weird thing that we have to deal with. And you can always say, well, you got to go deeper or whatever. And yeah, that's true. But man, sometimes, like, on a 600-acre property, if there's a guy hunting in the middle of it, I don't want to go deeper because it's still kind of close to that guy, you know, or whatever. You got to walk by somebody. I guess what I'm saying is, like, hunting around other people isn't my favorite thing to do. And it makes things tough because you don't know where people's wind is blowing. You don't know who's been in there the day before, but they're not in there that day. And it just can make things difficult pressure-wise. So we didn't really spend much time in Oklahoma on that hunt.
Kind of hurts.
Yeah, we decided to.
I wonder if it's like that across the state or just where we were at. I wonder if.
If you didn't see us.
I don't want this to sound egotistical, but I wonder if, like, us putting out a video on it in Buck Truck affected that at all. You know? Because it doesn't take much in certain areas to many guys to make it feel like it's a full property.
Yeah. It could. Or it could just be a big old quinky dink where that place had a lot of pressure.
Yeah. True. Lots of variables.
Yeah, but you left out a day early because you had, I think you had a Thanksgiving or something coming up, or I don't know. You left day early because you were smart.
was it only a day?
Might have been 2 days. I don't really remember.
I felt like there was 2 days of hunting there.
We came home on the 19th. I do know that, so it wasn't a Thanksgiving.
But that's when y'all came.
Yeah, because I came home on my anniversary.
I came home. This is after you shot your Kansas buck.
I shot it on the 15th.
Okay. Probably because I'd just been gone a long time. I don't know why I went home.
Oh, yeah, because you went on that Texas hunt before Kansas. So, yeah, you just went home because of that. And there weren't deer running around too much. So you're like, I think I'd probably leave.
Man, why did I leave?
You just got tired of us.
Probably.
But we hunted for a few more days, and there ain't much to talk about.
I'm telling you.
I did have a weird encounter that I would like to talk about for a second. Deer were rutting and doing a thing. They were on lockdown for a good amount of it, you'd say. I don't know how you really say it. There were more deer locked down with those than there were deer doing chasing stuff. But we
I
did,
had to coach a football game. That's why.
We did have a good hunt one evening where we saw quite a few deer and had a buck run through, cruising, chasing does around. And it was like a two-year-old, which I was willing to shoot a two-year-old eight at that point in time. I hadn't killed a ton of deer yet, and I need some food. And I was excited to just shoot some stuff, man. I was going to shoot a doe, too, if I had a really great opportunity. Didn't have that. But this buck, we hear, like, doing the ch-ch-ch-ch, you know, like you can tell when it's just a deer running on the right clip. And this deer runs in. Greg, I look back at him. He's like behind me, and I can see his chest. This is like going up and down. He's like excited. I'm like, oh gosh, is it a big buck? And ends up he can't get around to look at it, so he's just like excited because he knows it's a buck. And finally, the deer kind of like goes through some cedars and some oak trees or something, and I get a glimpse of it. And I'm like, that's a doe. Where's the buck? And ends up that is the buck. This deer is a 2-year-old buck that I, with my binoculars at 30 yards, cannot find antlers on it. Like, I almost wonder if there's not pedicles on this deer. Like, if it is an antlerless buck. Because he is just doing the thing. And he, I cannot find a stitch of antler on his head. It was a weird thing. But
did you check from behind to see if he was a buck?
I never saw a hang down or anything. But it had to be. I mean, does do not do what this thing was doing. He had hawks, if I remember right. But does sometimes have hawks, too. So
interesting.
Yeah. It was a weird thing.
Huh.
So I didn't shoot that one. And then that was about it. We did have a tiger salamander crawl underneath our trash bag one night.
Weird.
And we were loading up, and it was like, it's a water dog, but like a mature form, right? And this thing, like stretched out, was like a foot long. It's pretty cool. And I let him loose and put him underneath a piece of bark or something. That way, hopefully, he found him a hole before it got too cold.
Yeah.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But that was Oklahoma. And then we went to Thanksgiving's, and you went to Arkansas.
Yep. You did too.
Not before.
Well.
You went before I did.
Yeah, I was up there a day and a half or so ahead, I guess. Yep. It was also very tough. There's not a whole lot to talk about except for really for me for one instance. From deer hunting perspective.
You we go there and we're gonna hunt out of the boat a lot, but you ended up zoning in on a spot that was more of a walk in type deal.
Yep. It was really dry, so the river is really low. They're in pretty major drought right now, I think. And we end up the first evening, I believe it was, we were going to walk in. We're kind of hunting similar place we hunted last year. And we walk in to a place that Clay and Michael had seen a buck or had a same buck encounter twice or something. They'd seen some bucks back in there. And so I was like, oh, it's about a mile in there. So we'll walk in, and as we get close, we'll start rattling. And we go rattling off through there, nothing, get pretty close to where Michael thought this buck was last year, rattle, nothing, sit there for 20 minutes, nothing. So get up, start moving pretty slowly, wind's blowing decent. And I walk 80 yards, and all of a sudden, boom, deer busting out. It looks like two or three does. They bust out through this thick, thick stuff. It's starting to get real thick. And, I mean, Michael had literally just said, I think that's about where we saw that buck last year jump out of his bed. And, I mean, it wasn't 15 seconds, I feel like, and it was just like, boom. And then all of a sudden she goes, whoosh, whoosh, all the way through all the cover that we were fixing to go rattle. Mm. And so I was like, okay, this is dumb. There's no reason to even go in there and just rattle my way down in through this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything to put up a stand or anything. So, you know, it's getting closer to sunset. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Let's just bail out, go drive around and see if we can see some deer. So we bail out, and about, I don't know, sunset or a little bit after, we take off in the truck. We're driving down this road, and from a pretty busy main road, Michael's like, oh, there's some deer in there. This is a place that we're passing by that we had seen some deer the year before, and including a buck. I'd even hunted in here, I think, two or three times the year before in some different areas right in that particular, like, swampy location. It's an area that has, like, normally holds water, so it's got lily pads. It was dry this year, like I said, no water on the part that held it. So there's a lot of lily pads, and then there's this, like, slightly higher ground that's just willows and just thick, nasty ash trees and, you know, button brush and stuff like that. So, I start to slow down. We start looking. I'm like, golly, there's a buck right there. There's a buck with a doe, and he is big. I mean, big, tall G2s. He's not super wide, but he's heavy and tall. And I'm like, golly, that's an awesome buck. I mean, he's big. So we look at him for a second. We get a little phone scope, and we kind of take off and go back to camp, start making a plan. And I'm like, dude, I got to go in there and hunt this place. I look at it. It's like he was right next to the pen that KC sent me last year where they saw that buck.
Weird.
Yeah. And so I'm like, they're there. We saw does there. But that's where they want to be.
They're there.
And so I'm going to go kill them right there. And so I start making a plan. I think I called you, and you were like, man, I just go in there and hang in the morning. I was thinking about kind of sitting back on the ground in the button brush. Well, I go in there, and I have one of the most frustrating hangs of my life in the dark. It was really quiet, and those willow trees.
Glad I talked you into that.
Like 8 feet up, those willow trees grow vines all the way up into that point, and mm-hmm. then they kind of stop about 8 foot up or so. But it's like a nest. And so like getting up through that stuff is just loud and really difficult, especially in the dark. Well, we get in there. I get up there finally, man. I mean, it's just a disaster, but it is one of the highest places I could get in those willows, and I'm probably like 12 foot up. And we get up in there and we sit. I could go on and on about this, but like essentially this is the best tree for getting some shots and having being up in the sky. But you don't realize it in the dark, but we are daggum Sasquatches up in this tree. I mean, it is wide open. There's no back cover and no front cover like usual. Well, we hunt there, and I just kind of say, you know what? I hop around a lot. I can always come up with a reason why I can go somewhere else and should go somewhere else for the evening or for the next day or whatever. How about if I just stay here and grind it out because I know this is where deer want to be, and eventually maybe we'll get a shot. Well, long story short, about 3 days later, well, maybe 2 days later.
I think it's the first morning I hunted is this morning.
Was it?
Yeah.
So you had showed up, and we've just kind of been cranking it out in this tree. We're hunting a kind of iffy wind, but I knew which direction I thought that the deer wanted to cruise if they were going to cruise. And lo and behold, dude, we're sitting there. We saw like a couple of deer early, briefly. And this was a hard sit because the highway is like 250 yards away, and there's like 18-wheelers like every third car. And it's just loud, dude. And you can't hear your cameraman beside you. Now you can't talk to each other very well. Especially like during the work rush that happens before, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning a lot of times. So anyway, we're sitting there, sun's up, seen a couple of deer, can't move cause there's no wind. So we're being very still, but it's like 8:30 and we start talking about turkey hunting. I think hunting on our lease, turkey hunting. We're just like talking, you know.
Who was your camera guy?
Old Michael.
Yeah, I can see why turkey hunting was what you want
to
talk
and
about.
And he's a good dude to talk to because he likes to talk to you.
He's likes to be excited too.
He's not a guy that hops on Instagram all the time. I mean, he is going to talk to you and hang out with you. So he's very present. I like hunting with him. And we're sitting there talking about turkeys, and I'm kind of like looking over at him talking because I can't look the other way and him hear me probably. And all of a sudden, like, start hearing this pop, 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 like it's like a feeding call of a mallard, you know.
You know, it's funny, he can talk pretty fast.
Yeah,
he fits in.
Yeah, he does. But he gets like, it's like an ascending volume. So like at first I'm like, is that a mallard? And then next I'm like, oh, he's saying something. And then next I'm like, oh, he's saying buck over and over again. And so I finally registers, this happens in a split second, I look over where I'm, you know, where he's kind of looking, and this buck is coming right where I thought bucks were going to cruise, right down the edge and coming right through this little gap and into this little pocket of kind of open stuff where bucks can hang out, not be seen from the road and whatever else. And like, that's just where we pinned them a couple times. And he's coming through the gap quick, and he's at 35 yards when I first see him. And because you just can't see very far in here. It's a thicket. And he's at 35 yards. I'm thinking that when I get a shot at him, that the hole he's fixing to be 35, because it's hard to range sometimes, like gaps in the woods. You can't tell like how far in front of that next hard stop of brush that deer is actually walking. So, anyway, he's fixing to walk into this gap. So I'm about to turn the camera on, and I got to get it because I don't always get the GoPro on. And sometimes my cameraman helps me with that or whatever. Sometimes, you know, I just don't have the...
It depends on the tree setup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've been, like, struggling to get the GoPro on the last couple of times I've had deer coming in. So I'm like, I got to get it on. So I, like, see him, and I'm watching him, and I reach back, and then I look at the GoPro, and I turn it on, and then I start to pull my hand back, and I look at, and I'm looking over at him, and all of a sudden he just whips his head up to us, and it's still just no wind, and like I stop, and he got kind of a little bit weird because he saw my hand moving, I guess, and it's behind me, so I'm doing it with my right hand, if you can imagine, and he does the thing that I've talked about so many times, and I just amateured it, man, so bad. But he does
this
the thing.
This is that part where we can learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He puts his head down. Things are happening quick, right? Like, this is the bane of public land hunting for me, at least, is, like, if I'm going to kill a deer with a bow, I put myself in a situation where this happens often, where a deer shows up, he's at 35 yards, you have to kill him quick. He's fixing to walk through your you don't have a feeder he's going to stop at, like, you don't have a field that he's going to stop and eat at, you don't have a doe or anything that he's going to, like, he's walking through, you've got to get him killed in, like, 15 seconds or less, right? And so that's what, it makes this very hard, this thing that we're trying to do right now. And so I'm like, I got to get clipped on because he's fixing to walk behind something, and I need to draw, and he's going to come out in a gap on the other side just a couple of yards later. So as soon as he puts his head down, I start to move my hand again. What does he do? Lifts his head back up. He does the okey-doke thing that we've talked about so many times, especially does will do it at feeders, where they put their head down and it's right back up. And it's like almost like a, like they know that animals will move, right? It's like almost an instinctual thing they've probably developed, where like they know that if they see a coyote stalking them, that when they put their head down, he's going to take a few more steps. And if they put their head back up, they'll catch him, you know. And that's what they did. And it caught me moving again. And so at this point, like, I'm very close to my bowstring on my right hand. And he's staring at me. So over the course of the next, like, 45 seconds, I move, like, so slow.
It's one of my least favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Is to do the whole, I have to move while this deer is looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to do it that slow.
Yeah.
I just have so much fast switch about me that I have a real yeah, hard time. Yeah, I bet
it's not fun for you.
I have a hard time moving that slow.
It wasn't fun for me either, but I pulled it off
mm-hmm.
and eventually get clipped on while he's kind of staring at me. I'm not very far away, guys. I moved a little fast, and he caught me, right? So I'm just barely moving, and I finally get my hand to my bowstring, clip it on, and I'm like, all right, if he doesn't run off, I'm going to yank the bow back as soon as he turns, right? So he turns and starts walking broadside to me back where he came from, slowly. Finally, I yank back. The whole tree goes to whipping, dude. I'm talking. It is just like I'm in the top of a willow tree. Mm-hmm. And it's just like I yank back. The tree is moving like crazy. And I think he's fixing to stop broadside, right? And I'm going to smoke him. And he takes like two more steps. I don't know why, but he did not lock up immediately. Takes like two more steps and then gets behind this little kind of couple of trees, turns and looks at me and it's frontal. And I'm like, I've been shooting well. I shot all summer, summer before, a lot, like every day, right? I've been really trying to dial it. I'm like, I got this. And so I'm thinking he's going to jump string a little bit. So I put my 30 about dead center on his chest, thinking that he's around 35 still. And he's got a couple of little small trees right in front of him. So I was like, I just don't want to shoot it. And he does this thing where he starts looking through the stuff and moving his head back and forth real quick. He readjusts twice, and on the second time, I had a shot. I felt like the vertical trees were out of the way. I go to pull the trigger. I'm using a backup release because on my last morning in Oklahoma, I took a jacket off to walk my mile and a half out and left my release on the ground and a mile and a half back in Oklahoma, and I did not want to go back in there and get it. So I'm using a backup release, happens to have a heavier trigger pull than my other one that I didn't even realize was the case, really, because just not in this situation. Well, the trigger doesn't go off when I think it's going to, and this happens in a fraction of a second where I freak out mentally, right? As it's not gone off yet, I probably start relaxing and everything. I'm not a pro here, y'all. I'm just shoot a lot. And essentially, bow finally goes off, and I'm like aiming high and right when it goes off. Arrow takes off, and basically the deer runs off with an arrow sticking out somewhere what looks like his neck. And I'm like, what is going on? He runs into the brush, stops, don't hear anything for a second, and then all of a sudden just, and I'm like, is he crashing right there? And then he runs out and runs down the edge of this stuff and is like going back and forth real weird and then dips back in. And Michael goes, he's going down. Is he going down? I was like, did you see where I hit him? He was like, no. And I was like, it's bad, dude. So anyway, I end up, we replayed the footage. We even went back to camp before I went and looked for him or anything. I replay the footage. The arrow hits a limb and was fixing to miss him over the top because he ducked really hard too. The arrow hits a limb as dead center as you can. I mean, I'm talking, I found the limb later and it was sliced like you hit it with a machete.
Yeah. It was wild.
It was dead center.
It's pretty big too, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the size of a finger, you know? And he, and the arrow, when it hits that limb, almost goes straight down and goes across the back of his neck, like at the base of the skull almost, kind of cuts him there a little bit, and sticks in his ear. And I guess it hit that limb so hard that it lost a lot of momentum because it kind of went through his offside ear and just stuck there like an earring. And
weird.
Just flopping around.
This deer's running off with an arrow hanging out.
You see the fletching.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing, right? And there's nothing back there to kill them, you know. But we did go and look for blood and stuff, and just could. I mean, there was nothing. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, they're built to fight each other with pointy things on top of their heads. Like, there's nothing on top of the neck and head that can kill, except for if I'd have hit him in the spine, which I'm probably a few inches from doing. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I was so mad at myself, and especially when we leave there later on, and it was a really tough hunt. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, like, man, I don't think, I mean, you guys tell me what you think, but I don't think I can put that on YouTube. I mean, this is an audience that understands here on the podcast, and I can explain everything on YouTube, on video. I mean, it just looks bad. And I mean, it's not lethal unless there's some weird thing that happens. But, I mean, he's probably not going to die.
You know, one of the main problems with YouTube is that we have a great subscriber base, and if you watch us on YouTube and you listen often and you're a supporter, we thank you very much. But more often than not, on videos where there's deer in our videos, there's more people who aren't subscribed who are seeing than are.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those people haven't ever seen us before. So it's their first impression of us.
They absolutely hate us.
They hate us. You know, anytime you do anything wrong at all, you're like, oh, these are those idiots on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're right, but they don't have to tell us, you know.
Yeah.
But so I'm in the boat of like, eh, we have nothing to gain.
Yeah.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Yeah.
You know.
That's where I'm at too, man. It's like, and I'm probably going to show, like in the video, here's a little insight for you. We're probably going to show the deer. And we're probably going to talk about how I had an encounter with him. But I just don't feel like I can talk about that with an audience that, you know, we hunted with a guy named Labick Nasty. We've talked about it a couple times on the podcast. And dude, he posts a picture of a deer dead deer and people lose their minds. Like all these moms that thought he was funny because they do, he does, you know, school kid videos or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he's a killer, you know, yeah. He's a murderer, you know, and their name is, you know, Animal Spirit or something, Animal Spirit Mom or something. But like, I know you can't just like let a couple of people determine what you do, but like, I just don't think it's a good idea.
The problem is a couple people can determine what you do.
Oh, I guarantee you they can.
The wrong person at Google sees the reported post or, mm-hmm. or video or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're toast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because it was a really good encounter. And like I said, I've been shooting well, but there was a lot of things that put – oh, also the deer, I found out I went down there like a couple days later and stood where he was at, looked at the limb that was sliced and ranged the tree that we were in, and it was 30. So that adds to the height of mm-hmm. miss. Also, the limb that I hit was waist high, which is weird. That's how down he dropped, you know.
Yep.
So
you know that I hurt for you on that because I think a lot of people that hunt together kind of have a little bit of a team mentality, and I think that you and I probably have a really heavy team mentality because we do this together all the time. And on a hunt like that, it's like, somebody here, please kill a deer.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
And then whenever that happens to you, yeah. it's like, man, that was our chance. I'm not being critical of you.
No,
you know,
it was. And I appreciate you, man, because you're just good at like, you're really good at like what I really need, I hate that I need this, but I need it. I realize that I need this. Is like somebody to be like, dude, it's all right. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it, man. Go out there and kill another one, you know, or whatever. Like I need somebody to tell me it's okay. Stuff like that happens or whatever. And you do a good job of that because you have a pretty optimistic attitude. And so
thanks, man.
I'll be like just – I was really – like that morning I was so mad at myself.
I can imagine – I mean, not that you should be mad at yourself, but I can imagine it being hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I wounded a big elk this year. Same kind of thing, you know? And it's just like, oh, it just hurts, man. Because mm-hmm. you want it so bad.
Yeah.
You want it so bad. And it's just, yep. it's hard to recover from.
It is.
I also got you punched in the mouth on that trip.
Oh, hard. I mean, I'm not blaming this on you either because I told you to do it. But we got back to the camp. We were like, man, you know, I did when I got up in that tree the other day, like I had to I yanked on my bow as hard as I could because there was a vine wrapped around my sight. Mm-hmm. Could not get it off the ground. And I yanked on it hard. So I thought, well, then I messed my sight up. So we go on and start messing with stuff. And long story short, we realized that it was a heavy trigger pull. So
sight was fine. And yeah. we thought that because you had a new release, it was a heavy trigger pull.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to adjust that.
Yeah.
And I, being the tinkerer between us two, know how to adjust that.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that triggers are weird. And yep. if you adjust them too lightly, they can go off on their own
mm-hmm.
with pressure. We talked about this before it happened.
Yeah.
We were prepared. And what we were prepared for was that arrow launching accidentally because Tyler doesn't do like a terrible like sky draw, but he kind of goes up a little bit more than he does down.
Yeah, it's pretty high. It's way easier to draw that way. That's why I did it.
Yeah, it's easier on your shoulder. I mean, Crispy does it. And if Crispy can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
But
so you were warning me.
Yeah,
that I was like, hey, keep the bow down here. We don't want to send it out in the middle of nowhere.
I said, hey, draw that. We'd already talked about it, but I was reminding you, and you were kind of pointing up.
Fixing and pointing up, yeah.
And about the time I say the end hadn't come out.
And I was like, okay, and I start putting it down I start moving it down. And like you said, about the time the end comes out,
pap.
bow goes off and still shoots over the target a little bit. But it's only at like a half draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
I just duped it out there.
I, with my right hand, hit myself in the face so hard. I haven't been in like any fist fights, you know, but like I've been hit by football players and stuff mm-hmm. a lot, right? That was about probably the hardest I've ever been hit in the mouth. I got hit in the mouth with a head in basketball one time, a little bit harder probably, but it hit my nose so hard that my nose bled
mm-hmm.
and my mouth had teeth imprints in the front top of my lip
mm.
for like might still be there. No, we're good. But it was there for a while, dude, and I couldn't eat food that was salty or whatever for a while. I mean, it was
just so happens to be one of the best cooks in ever in camp.
I guarantee you, dude. But it hurt so bad. I was like, and I felt bad, you know, because Scott laughed immediately. And then he like really quickly found out like, oh, I shouldn't be laughing, you know. And I think everybody was kind of like, you know, or whatever.
I've always been like, I got some of the worst times I got in trouble when I was a kid was laughing when people got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been that guy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a guy thing to do, you know, but like you do need to have some concern for your friend.
Dude, I smoked myself. And I went inside because I could tell I don't know if I've really like ever had like a bad nosebleed or anything when I got hit in the nose. Cause I got a hard nose, it's kind of built out of steel, but I went in there, I was like, it's fixing to bleed, and so I got it some paper towels. It didn't bleed bad, but like it bled, and so yeah, that was the beginning of what would just continue to be terrible hunting conditions. And we ended up getting in the river with our boats and stuff, and I tore my trailer up trying to get my boat in the river because the ramp was. I mean, there was like no water on the ramp. And so it was just like rock piles and shallow water. And I was going to go to a place that was my backup, A number one, going to kill a giant. And I get to the creek that you drove down last year with your boat. Mm-hmm. And it was 8 inches deep the whole way. And
if that.
I mean, it was bad. Mm-hmm. It was shallow. So I couldn't go. So we ended up just hunting with everybody else in the same spots that everybody else could
That's
get
it.
To, you know.
It was so fun. The neat thing is that you were able to get your boat out of the water.
Yep.
You messed your trailer up backing it in, hitting rocks. I messed my trailer up on the way down. My bearing goes out in my boat trailer. And it's an old boat trailer, you know. So, like, this thing happens from time to time. And the last time this bearing was replaced was probably 10 years ago. It was a buddy bearing. And I think that the... Like the packing on the seal on the front side came out on the way. And so I don't know how long it was out, but I usually stop and check that kind of stuff from time to time. And I stopped halfway and all my bearings were fine. So at some point in time between the Arkansas-Texas line and that boat ramp, my bearing went out. And apparently it went out. Greg said he saw the tire leaning sideways the day before. He didn't inform me of that.
It's weird how a guy doesn't talk much.
He just takes notes. You know, he loves to be retrospective. He loves to say, "You know, I saw that."
Hey, it's a good way to be right.
That's right, dude. I then can't get my boat out of the water because I'm not going to be able to take it back to camp. Anyways, we're a long way from camp at the boat ramp, so I just leave my boat in the water. Start working on the trailer the next day. After we hunt the same place everybody else was hunting that morning. And we're having bad hunts. We're going to leave that part out.
Bunts.
I go back and get a bearing. It's the wrong bearing. I have to go back again to get the right bearing. Get the right bearing. And get back to the boat ramp to work on the trailer. The bearing won't go on the trailer. This thing's called a spindle. It sticks out from the trailer. It's connected to your axle. I can't get it up on the spindle all the way. I was like, what's going on? Start looking at the spindle. The spindle has etched and lumped up a bunch of metal from the bearing going out. And it's like unfixable. I might have could have taken a file to it and got it down to where I could get the bearing on. But then like, who knows if that's going to even get me back to the house because then it's like not a perfect system, mm-hmm. you know. And when you got... going 70 miles an hour down the road, you want things to be right. So, long story short, and this is what we're going to build a little content around in the video, is I spend 2/3 of my Arkansas hunt working on the trailer, and I drop the axle completely out of this trailer and put a new axle on my trailer at the boat ramp in Arkansas while my boat is down there in the water. And that takes about 3 days. So, yeah. That was fun, and the moral of the story is it's good to know how to do a few things. I'm not bragging on myself because I was the idiot who drove the trailer with a bad bearing in it, but, like, problem solving. This is something I learned from Tyler, which I didn't learn problem solving from Tyler. But like,
no, you've been a good problem solver for a minute.
The topic of problem solving, it's a thing to – spend some time on, especially with your kids, but just even as an adult, like some self-evaluation stuff. Like, are you being a problem solver? If you're not, how do you learn problem solving, and how do you make yourself better at that? You know, there's YouTube University, Podcast University. Y'all are attending it right now, right, mm-hmm. on certain things like whitetail hunting and all that. There are countless hours of shows and videos and podcasts and this, that, and the other where people tell you how to do stuff, mm-hmm. right? It's a great way to learn how to do things if you don't know. Thankfully, me, I was raised blue collar, you know, and we didn't have enough money to buy new stuff, so we had to fix our old stuff all the time. And so...
You went to the University of Butch and Durwood.
I guarantee you. University of... there's a hole in that throw stain tied up with some monofilament. You know, you probably know a little something about that.
Yeah.
Your trot line's rotten here. Just tie in some good stuff there in that one spot, and then you don't get your catfish because your trot line breaks. You definitely know about that. I've never dropped an axle out of a trailer and put it in there, but it ain't hard. It's four bolts. You just got to know which four to take out, mm-hmm. and you got to know what measurements to do, and I didn't know what measurements to do. So I call the axle place, and I say, hey, how do I determine what size axle this thing needs to be? And they tell me, and I do it, and we do it all, and it's got a little wiggle room, you know, for tolerances, but not much. But I was within an eighth inch on my measurements and got the new one in there. And once we had the new one, it took an hour to put the axle on and to put the wheels back on. And mm-hmm. now we're ready to rock and roll. Got a brand new one, you know? So
yeah,
it translates over into deer hunting, right? You show up, Tyler, you show up to a tree you've never been to in the morning. It's our favorite thing to do, right? Like mm-hmm. if we had to pick, we would say, no, I'm going somewhere I've never been in the morning because it's the best.
Yep, it's the best.
Sense the sarcasm, guys. Sense it. You show up to a tree you've never been to in the morning because KC tells you there's going to be a scrape down there at the end of this lake, and there is.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are some trees down there that are kind of big,
mm-hmm.
and you climb the tree, and you get up there, and then all of a sudden, what happens?
You can't get your saddle platform around the tree.
The platform strap is shorter than the straps on the sticks. What do you do? Do you cry? Do you go home?
I cried. But then I did something else.
After you cry, what do you do?
You go find another tree.
You just climb down and redo it, yeah. right? Because that's what you got to do.
Sometimes it takes a little extra work, man.
It does, man. Sometimes you got to sweat, and that's the way it goes. But
yeah.
That's about near what Arkansas was, man. There just wasn't a whole lot that happened. And that you'll have that on them big jobs, as they say. that's hunting, you know. Yep. And it might look like we kill a bunch of big deer on YouTube, because we do, but the reason it looks that way sometimes is because we don't put the boring stuff on you, or we try not to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's kind of where Arkansas went for us. And then... even furthermore, I don't know how much time you want to even spend on it, but you went back to Oklahoma by yourself.
Yeah, I did. And, man, it was very tough. I actually hunted a new place because I thought it would be, breath of fresh air.
it's something you've looked forward to. You kind of have been looking at this area for a long time.
Yeah, we just hadn't really set up for us to go give it a try. And so I end up hunting a new place.
One of our initiatives this year was that Tyler and I, even though we love each other, we don't have to be in the same place all the time, uh-huh. right? Like we can go do kind
which
of
I think
own
now
thing.
We're learning we do.
we do better when we're together.
Yeah, it's more fun too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to this place and I was really pumped. I thought I would for sure get into, some deer. And the one thing that I didn't realize is that parking was cut off way up by the highway. And so essentially it made this place hunt like really hard. In fact, this place has not been managed, in my opinion, super well. And that place has grown extremely tall, which we had. It was the year of the native grass, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we had June rains all throughout the Plains States this year that just made those things awesome, you know. But, like, you couldn't see nothing. You had to be in a tree. Well, guess what? They've done some habitat management that just so happens that all the trees that you are looking forward to hunting, mm-hmm. you can't see them till you get there because the grass is 10 foot tall. Mm-hmm. But then when you get there, the tree doesn't exist because of what they've done.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Onyx has a pretty, they do a pretty good job with, you know, recent imagery type stuff. But whenever they cut something down a month ago or whatever it is, or mm-hmm. this summer, like, it's pretty unreasonable to think that
for sure
there's an update.
I mean,
to that.
They can Onyx doesn't put the satellites in the air.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. so they can only have
Elon does.
Imagery. Yeah, they can only have imagery that has been taken by some technology juggernaut or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that it made things really tough. There wasn't actually very many good trees to hang in. They were also doing some management at the time.
Cool.
Which, you know, it's hunting season, so why can't we do that maybe after hunting season when people who pay lots of money to come hunt aren't there? But, yeah, I mean, it's just it made that plus that tall grass. Like, even when I dig in a tree, dude, there was times when I could not see deer. I mean, the first deer that I saw from a tree stand, I sat in the right tree, I picked the right spot, and I did not see the deer until they were 30 yards from me. Every deer that came out that afternoon, I couldn't see it till it was 30 yards from me.
It's rough, man.
It's like, man, how are you supposed to self-film and kill a deer with zero wind and hardly any trees and really tall grass? And it made it really difficult. I got creative, hunted some stuff. I mean, and that's another thing is like, I was checking stuff out that was 2.5 miles back. I mean, way, way back. Mm-hmm. And I felt like you couldn't get into deer. Like, I felt like you couldn't get into a buck at this point in the season without doing a legit, like, 1.5 miles at least on this place. And so it just made a tough hunt, man. And, I mean, there's not a whole lot else to say about it except for there wasn't nearly as many deer as I thought there should have been. There was a lot of coyotes, and I think that the management – I know that, we're supposed to manage for all the species, you know, whatever, but, like, ain't people buying, you know, $400 worth of coyote tags mm-hmm. and spending money to drive out of state and go hunt these places.
And even if they are, there's 10-to-1 whitetail hunters.
For sure.
To people who are coyote first.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing is I don't think the whitetails had enough edge on this place to to really thrive.
Lots of monotony.
Lots of it. Lots of it. So it was tough, man. And that really put me in a spot where, like, my late November, early December time period, like, just kind of petered out and was super slow and tough. And it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth till our more recent trip, which we can probably talk about on next week's podcast.
Sounds like a good idea. There is some excitement to come. And if you are in the South right now, there's some positivity out there. There's some good things going on. If you're in the North, sounds like there's also a way to kill deer up there. I don't know how, but apparently they just
go south.
They go eat, and you can go to the places they eat and shoot them because there's a lot of big deer going down still.
Yep.
Anyways, there's a lot of southern rut still happening, and I'm about to try to go capitalize on that a little bit this week, I think. But, yeah, if you didn't know, our good friend Greg doesn't talk a lot, but he shoots deer. and we just put out a video on our YouTube. He kind of does this thing every year. He's got a family place down there in the hill country where he can go and hunt and be kind of conservative. Greg's a conservative dude. He likes that. And, you know, get some good footage of some deer. He's got a lot of good deer footage, a lot of cool encounters, a lot of deer rutting doing the thing. And he takes a real nice buck. And so go check that out. If you haven't, on our YouTube channel, we'll put that link to that description below. Tyler, anything else we need to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I would just say, man, there's a lot of good hunting left this season still. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're a whitetail hunter, you may be kind of on the downhill. I'm not, but you might be, and that's okay. But there's duck hunting and all kinds of stuff to get out there and do right now. Hogs, whatever, man.
Our deer lease has got a squirrel corridor. It is made for squirrel hunting.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't tell you on purpose because I wanted to hunt over there for deer. but we can go put bands of squirrels in our waste when we walk through the woods down there.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a weird deal where there's a whole bunch of horse apple trees down in there, and there ain't no acorns around, so it's just like that's what the squirrels are in there eating, and they are everywhere. And they, dude, get this. They, like, look at you from 15 yards away at 5 foot up and just kind of look at you when you walk through there.
I might need to know about this.
I thought about shooting with 30-30 the other day. I did.
Oh, man.
But, yep, next podcast, guys, there will be some big buck stories. So be ready for that. I think there might be a new whitetail bumps coming out pretty soon. So I can't be held accountable for anything those guys do. But apparently it's a pretty good listen from what I hear.
Yep.
I haven't listened to one
I've heard
yet.
It was coming out the day we record this podcast. So it might be out before
how we release about this. You? Yeah, good deal. Okay. Well, remember to check that out. And remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.